Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Episode 7 of Lessons in Chemistry, the Book of Calvin, is over, but we are just getting started here on Post Show Recap. I am Dr. Amanda, and I'm taking a break from my lucrative bootlegging business to talk to you, Dr. Melissa. Welcome, Dr. Melissa.
Hi, Dr. Amanda. I am just reliving some of my like childhood curiosity type, you know, I wasn't doing, what is this, like illegal distilling? I didn't even know if
yeah.
we know what's going on in this.
This is
but
like
yeah,
some
I was just thinking
yeah, this
of, like,
is some prohibition era of good old bootlegging, being sponsored by the Catholic Church, of course.
Yeah. So I was thinking, you know, I spent more of my backyards like taking, I spent a lot of time taking like toothbrushes out to the backyard and thinking I was like being an archaeologist by like uncovering Ooh. Like rocks in the dirt and stuff. That was, I don't know why that was like a big source of my childhood mm-hmm. curiosity. I don't know if you had any similar stories.
That checks out for you. I'm trying to think of like what I spent my childhood getting into, I did break open a few thermometers to play with the mercury, which is not advisable because that is a neurotoxin. So
yeah,
kids, don't open. Do they still even have the old fashioned thermometers with mercury anymore? Man. Well, that ages me almost as much as this episode aged Calvin. we're going to be getting into episode 7 of Lessons in Chemistry, the penultimate episode of Lessons in Chemistry.
I said this on the Goosebumps pod. I have never used the word penultimate so much in my life as I do when podcasting.
It's part of the post-show recaps podcaster contract. You have to agree that you will say penultimate like no fewer than 30 times in any given podcast series.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just one of those, I guess there's like not a lot of situations in life where you're always aware of, this is the second last time I will do this thing.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Yeah.
And even anti-penultimate, I think anti-penultimate is the new penultimate. That's my hot take.
That makes sense.
Well, you do not want to miss the ultimate or any other episode of Lessons in Chemistry or any of the great podcasts that are in the Apple TV Plus feed. So you can go ahead and subscribe for Post Show Recap /Apple TV, wherever you get your pods. I know that the morning show is wrapping up. Lots of great stuff in the Apple TV Plus feed. And consider becoming a patron of Post Show Recaps. The holidays are right around the corner, and you can treat yourself to a gift, get access to early pods, as well as patron exclusive content, podcasts, and you can get merch at higher levels. Sign up at patreon.com/postshowrecaps or postshowrecaps.com/patreon. So Melissa, episode 7 of the book, Lessons in Chemistry, the Book of Calvin. What did you think of this episode?
Okay. Why are we getting backstory? Why are we getting this much backstory for a character who died 5 episodes ago? I don't get it. Goosebumps did this too. And I don't know why I'm bringing up this pod so much, but it was all of a sudden at the very end, they're like, do you know what everybody wants right at the end of their show? A massive lore dump about the story that we're having right now. We're not going to advance the plot forward really at all. We're just going to talk about everything that we already established way back. I get that it was like they were building up to this reveal with the Reverend. And so then we had this flashback. I don't understand why this couldn't have happened 3 episodes ago when Matt and the Reverend first started talking. And he's like, oh, your dad is Calvin. Like, have that happen as a reveal at the end of that first episode when they started talking. And then we could have had this episode back when we still cared who Calvin was.
None of this paid off for me. And I feel like we're going to get like so we have 1 episode left. We have the finale left. I feel like we're building towards learning something else about Calvin's past, about like, obviously we have like the Beau Bridges character who we keep on seeing. I think we're going to learn something more about St. Luke's Boys Home and all of the letters that he was getting. There's going to be some surprising reveal. And I don't care about any of that, Melissa. Like, I don't care. I'm done caring about Calvin at this point. And I want more of Elizabeth. I want more of her career in the cooking show and like following her journey. Like, that's what I signed up for. And none of this was working for me. And I also found this episode, like, I think I came on in our pre-podcast banter, I found this episode so tedious. The friendship with Reverend Wakely, like, was just felt like very trite. Like, the science versus faith exchange was like very tired, not particularly insightful.
Yeah.
And then the fact that it all turned to like, hey, like, might I suggest like falling in love and getting late? Like, I don't, just none of this worked for me at all. And I feel like we've gotten so far away from the things that attracted me to the show in this episode, in terms of this being about, you know, a woman pursuing a career in science at that time, and about what lessons she can learn through cooking, and about this message about feminism, like all of the things that I thought that the show had going for it. This was like a complete sidestep into this like melodrama history of this one man. So none of that I loved. And I also feel like this show has been inconsistent in its use of narrative device in a way that doesn't feel effective or even intentional. Like, we had a whole episode narrated by a dog. This episode is like mostly a correspondence between 2 characters who neither of whom who I thought were the point of view character. Like, this isn't shifting point of view in a way that is, it's not giving me anything except that it's feeling a little bit sloppy. I mean, we had a whole episode, Melissa, that was narrated by a dog.
Yeah, we're never going to get past that. And
but like, why? Why? Have we even seen 6:30 since that episode? Basically, no. I mean, why was that important?
I mean, it wasn't. It was, I think the intention, just to give all of the benefit of the doubt, was that Elizabeth was feeling distanced from her own emotion, and therefore we were meant to feel distanced from her because she was no longer even our point of view character. We were outside of her experience as much as she was feeling outside of her own experience as this like symbol of grief. Fine. Mm-hmm. It still didn't need to be a dog, nor did it need to be a talking dog. Again, my simple fix for all of that would be that the dog just didn't have to talk and it could still be from the dog's perspective. And I actually think that would have been kind of cute. But fine. This, like, there were parts of it that I thought were interesting if this was not the penultimate episode of our show. Like, I care about Elizabeth. I care about Mad. I care about Harriet. Everybody else on this show is a secondary character, and I don't need to spend a whole episode diving into this back and forth between a guy who has been dead for 5 episodes. Like, I don't get it. I don't know. I was asked yesterday if I recommended this show. Shout out to our friend Tom Palmer, if he ever listens to this, because he wants to listen to our podcast.
That's very sweet. Yeah.
But it's like, and I was like, well, you know, it's fine. It's okay. I think the podcast is fun. And he's like, okay, if you'd been any more enthusiastic about that show, I would have watched it. So I don't know if he'll ever get around to it, but I feel bad for the people who like read and love this book. And here we are just kind of like hating on this story, because I don't know. Again, I'm sort of curious from our book readers how much this like play with perspective ties into the book. Like, is there this whole chapter that suddenly happens near the end of the book between these other two characters? And it's just, it's setting up stuff that, again, I don't know what this reveal is going to do for our central characters. Like, is Mad suddenly going to have some like distant relative? Are they going to come into money somehow so that Elizabeth can go back to doing science? Like,
I don't
know. And I don't know that I really love the idea that some outside force is going to like come in and save the day. And it's not that like these three women that we care about are kind of doing it for themselves through their own intelligence and motivation and like tenacity.
Yeah. I mean, so this Bo Bridges, like Remsen guy, the institution that grants the Remsen Prize, which is like so important, is obviously
the only funding in all of science.
The only funding, sometimes it feels that way, but has been like buzzing around the periphery of the show in and out for a few episodes. Now he was, you know, he was at the funeral. He was at Kevin's funeral. You know, we've seen him at the Hastings lab. We know that, you know, he has, we see it like this reveal at the end of the episode that the Scientific American with Calvin's face on it is like prominently displayed in his office. So I think he clearly is going to have a connection to Calvin. He was like at the boys' home. That's going to be this big reveal in the finale, is my prediction. It's not like a particularly smart or insightful one. It's just very obvious. So, I mean, I thought that when, like, I really was feeling like we were getting into the show where the premise was going to be about using a cooking show as a vehicle to empower women and elevate the work that they do and teach scientific concepts. And there were going to be like a lot of fun recipes, and there was going to be a lot of like snarky, sassy, fun, smart lady time. And like, we definitely have gotten some of that, but I do feel like there's a lot of this melodrama romance that's been like infused throughout this, where we have this like coincidence that he, you know, like, and then there's now there's some science versus faith stuff. And it's like, there's this show is taking on so much and it's not executing any of it particularly well. And I feel like it's moving away from its strengths. And I'm sure that the book had a lot of this and that that's where it's coming from, but not everything that works well in a book is going to transfer one-to-one to a television show. And I feel like what made this a television show that had a successful marketing campaign that like Apple TV Plus was excited about was like Brie Larson is a scientist, cook, feminist, and we're going to have a fun time with that. And like this, it's very, very much departed from that for a couple of episodes now in digging into this backstory. And I can tell why that might come across really well in a book, but I think it's not working for me.
Yeah. And, you know, you mentioned this whole like science versus faith conversation, and it's just frustrating because first of all, like, pretending like these two things haven't been intertwined since like the beginning of the scientific process is ridiculous. Like, the Catholic Church is one of the largest funders of scientific research of all time. It's like these things are not necessarily separate. I know so many people who have a religious faith and are scientists at the same time. These do not have to be diametrically opposed ideas. And at the same time, if you are someone who is kind of very scientific and not religious, that also doesn't make you like broken and incapable of experiencing love and happiness and other things, which again is just like a bit of an idea that I'm kind of tired of. I still see purpose in my life and like enjoy. Right. I don't know. Anyway, it's I agree with you. There was nothing in these letters that wasn't just this weird, like two men talking at each other and then saying like, "Oh wow, look at all the insights that you have learned from me." And I was like,
"Oh my God. Yeah,
okay."
And that, like, I mean, I didn't find it like particularly insightful or different. Like, this all felt very, very familiar and very well-worn territory. And then it also didn't feel particularly true to the characters that were introduced. Like this Calvin Evans character, who's like, look, what did Wakely say in his letter that made him carry on this correspondence where they become best friends, where he's like so curmudgeonly in almost the entire rest of his life? Like, it felt a little bit like he doesn't feel like a particularly real three-dimensional character. His actions kind of don't add up. There was like nothing in this exchange that felt particularly like it would captivate either of these men so much that they would form this close friendship. Like,
so, yeah, because Amanda, can you imagine getting this letter randomly from someone you've never met before in your entire life, who's like, "I've read your work. Have you considered God?" Like,
I mean, it's a
random.
Why would he have responded to that?
I don't know. Like, first of all, again, one of the best PR campaigns in the world is like the Christian faith. Like, we've heard of it. Everyone's aware. It's fine. You don't have to keep telling people. We know. And it was just one of those of like, again, he went to like it's not like Calvin didn't know. So fine. Yeah, okay, maybe this is like an interesting chance for him to explore, having, you know, grown up in the school. It was very oppressive. You know, it seems like it was not a good showing of religion and faith. And so it was a chance to kind of see another side of that through the Trevor, and like, fine, totally down with that. But I agree with you. Like, why would he have responded to that first letter? Because all it felt like to me was just to him being like, but also God.
And then even Wakely's motivation is completely abstruse to me, because it's like, Oh, I found this like, so he's at Harvard and this visiting scientist comes and speaks and he's like, this guy, I'm going to convince, like he has access to other scientists in his life. Like he starts this correspondence and he decides he's going to wear this man down about faith. Like, I mean, it just, the both of their motivation, like motivations don't seem entirely clear. But anyway, well, let's recap the episode. We only have one. This is the penultimate episode. We only have one left. We'll see what happens. We open, Melissa, in 1930 at St. Luke's Boys Home. In, you know, the era of prohibition in the United States. And we see a boy, a young Calvin, futzing with a faucet. A nun chastises him and tells him, one day your curiosity will lead you down a path you can't come back from. I don't know if that's the moral of the story for Calvin.
No, but also he got hit by a bus. So I don't think that it was his curiosity. They meant
a dog. A dog will lead you down a path you can't come back from.
Yeah. The casting of young Calvin I thought was very good, though. This kid looks like the girl.
Yeah, it was good. They did find somebody, a good child actor. So Calvin gets demerits for tardiness. We see that he's not reading his Bible study book. He's got his hidden chemistry text inside of it. And we see that at this boy's home, there's boys who are getting, I don't know if their parents are coming back for them. This is a home for orphan boys or if they're getting adopted, but we see that other boys are getting taken home by families. And Calvin is disappointed and yearning for a family of his own.
Yeah. Okay, this is probably the nerdiest thing I will ever say on a PSR podcast, which is saying something. I used to get in trouble at elementary school because instead of paying attention to my teacher, I had a book in my desk that I was reading and I was trying to be oh so subtly like reading my book inside my desk rather than listening to whatever was going on because I was bored because it was not stimulating, which I will say is maybe not my fault. But yeah, that was something that my mom was like, I don't know how to be upset with you about this. Read less.
Not me, Melissa, because while I love learning, more than anything, I love pats on the head. So I was trying to be a good student, except for the fact that I did end up butting heads in Catholic school with my teachers quite a bit, because despite my best efforts, I wasn't living up to exactly what they wanted. So anyway, but this school has a different agenda, and we very quickly see that this priest who runs this orphan home for boys. And I think that this looks like it's a Catholic boys home. Like it seemed, but it could be a different Christian denomination. There's a nun. So it's definitely Catholic. Definitely Catholic. They are bootlegging alcohol here during the era of prohibition. They're trafficking it through a truck that is advertising prayer candles. And this corrupt priest is making money hand over fist. And it turns out that Calvin is the Walter White of hooch.
This is great. I don't know. Yeah, good on the church, I guess. But you know, maybe Calvin should be seeing some of that profit somehow.
Yeah, this doesn't seem like it's like very much following the teachings of Jesus, but he did turn water into wine. So maybe this is exactly what he would have wanted. I love like the I love the impact that prohibition has had on, you know, all like American art and lore. Like it didn't last that long, but it spurred a lot of organized crime. We get this like montage of, you know, they're upgrading their equipment. Like Calvin has figured out ways to optimize their method of producing more and more, and it's clear that he's become extremely valuable to the whole operation there at St. Luke's.
Yeah. Despite them still treating him like garbage.
Yeah, yeah. And we get our first Beau Bridges sighting. And I don't know if this character has a full name, Melissa. Does he have a name?
I don't know. Just the round dude with a hat, I
think. Yeah. So a limo pulls up. All the kids rush to the window to see. Beau Bridges steps out. And Calvin, like, gets a sense that he's there for him. The priest pulls him from class to discuss his future, explains to Calvin that he's indispensable to what's happening at St. Luke's and he's excused from his daily chores. But Calvin wants to know about the man who visited today. Is that his father? And the priest says he saw you, but he doesn't want you. And the priest says that he cares about him too much to subject him to hateful people. Calvin's really disappointed. He wants to talk to him. He thinks that this man was going to take him home and be his father. So, Melissa, what do you make of this scene?
I have no idea. Like, is the priest somehow, like, keeping Calvin there as his moneymaker and, like, cutting off his possibility of being adopted, I guess? Why is this random? And then is this guy, like, are we going to find out that this guy has, like, been funding Calvin's research as an adult because he, like, wanted to adopt him as a child? In which case, I'm like, wait, so are all of Calvin's scientific achievements some, like, weird nepotism in some way?
Yeah, like, I don't know. I don't know. I don't like, I mean, so I think, okay, the priest is lying. I feel like the priest is definitely lying. The priest is a bad guy. Priest is bad. I don't know if this Beau Bridges character is Calvin's real father, if he knew about Calvin and wanted to be his benefactor in some way. It would really, like, kind of undermine his brilliance if, like, a lot of his support has come from, you know, some other, for some other reason other than his actual merit. So that's a little bit confusing. But I think at least in this scene, like, I come away thinking that, you know, Calvin is too important to the operation, the bootlegging operation, and this priest is a filthy, lying liar, and that we can't trust what he says here. But I think the priest very much is trying to keep Calvin there and perhaps has, like, undermined attempts for him to be adopted or taken from St. Luke's in the past.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I don't know what we're supposed to think about this at this point. I guess we're
I don't care about this. I don't care about this. This isn't what the show made me care about. I don't know. Like, so this, so none of this like was landing that well for me, but I've already voiced those opinions.
I mean, I'm guessing at some point that this man is going to come in and, like, you know, heal Elizabeth and Mad of all of their bad times and, you know, be the guy that saves them.
Yeah,
gonna be great.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions.
18 plus. In 1948 we see Calvin at the Hastings lab, and at this point he's like sharing a lab with like Donati and lab techs and other chemists. He doesn't like any of this. He's getting his picture taken. He doesn't like that. He snaps at everyone. He says he needs a lab with no distraction, and the head of the board says like, you could have whatever you want. So
this is how it works, right, Amanda?
That's how it works. This is where we see Calvin go and give his guest lecture at Harvard. Life is born of random infinite permutations. Reverend Wakely is attending in the audience and is completely enamored with this talk. He writes the letter to Calvin, tells him he found the lecture inspiring, but maybe he's missing. Maybe he's overlooking the mysteries of the divine. What if God is a spontaneous generation? Science alone cannot explain everything. And apparently this is the first time anybody said anything like this to Calvin, and he's fully in on engaging in a years-long correspondence.
Yeah. So first of all, Calvin is missing something, because at one point he says something about there being 4 nucleotides for DNA and RNA. It's actually 5. So just wanted to like, there are 4 at a time. Like there are 4 in DNA and there are 4 in RNA. It's just that only 3 of them are the same between those two. And then RNA and DNA each have different uracil in RNA and thymine.
You can't get it by Dr. Melissa. Okay.
Yeah.
So, nice try, Calvin.
Yeah, it was one of those where I was like, I don't know. He's like technically right if I'm being generous, but nothing about this episode makes me feel like being generous. So he's wrong. There's 5 nucleotides, not 4.
Nice. But Calvin replies, I'm a staunch atheist, but please convince me otherwise. I've never been one to shy away from a good debate. So this is how they start their correspondence. You know,
can I just say this is my least favorite debate in the world?
Oh my gosh. This was so trite. Like, I do feel like this felt like something that like a precocious 9th grader would write. Like, this is felt very tired to me. We get, you know, science is the how, religion is the why. And then like the Charles Darwin, science is the how and the why. It's like, yada, yada, yada. Okay. We get to see, you know, the Calvin's first meeting with Harriet and Charlie. This is the story that Harriet's already told Elizabeth. They bring over pie, welcoming him to the neighborhood. Harriet's impressed with his taste in music. And we also get like the sort of genesis of how this cease and desist letter that was found in Harriet's law firm, because she gives him the legal advice that if he's getting all of these unwanted letters that he can issue a cease and desist. So this is the beginning of their friendship. And like, again, like both of like these two, the fact that Calvin sparks these friendships with Harriet and with Reverend Wakely, like I didn't see enough in his character to understand him as a person to the point where this makes sense. But like this episode is doing a lot of like filling in this backstory for everything in Calvin's life up to the point where he meets Elizabeth.
Yeah. So we
the
get
thing that.
That
bothered me is like it's filling in backstory that we already knew.
Yeah.
Harriet told us about this scene again, like 5 episodes ago.
Yeah.
Of yeah, we went over to meet him. Charlie Parker was playing. He's a funny dancer. Like we're just seeing all of that. But Harriet already told us. So I don't understand why we're doing it again. Like either don't tell us the first time or don't bother to show it now. Like I didn't, I don't know. It's like this, I like seeing, being reminded that these two were friends. But again, I just wish that we could have seen something that we didn't already
this was just filling in like the plot that we already knew. It didn't show anything about the characters and their connection and like what brought them together. It was just like a dramatic reenactment of what we already knew, and it really didn't bring a lot. So we get more and more of the Evans and Wakely correspondence. As they become friendly, they start to share details of each other's lives. You know, Wakely is encouraging Calvin to, you know, not to rule out finding love or getting married. You know, Evans goes on some like, you know, pretty terrible dates. We find out that Wakely's father has cancer and is refusing treatment. So like that these men are like becoming more of a friend, like this is more of a friendship at this point and less of a debate where they're actually sharing details about each other's lives. And they get closer. And eventually
again, they refer to Hodgkin's as gallbladder cancer. Hodgkin's is like, it's Hodgkin's lymphoma. You could have lymphoma present in your gallbladder, but it was like sort of a weird, like I was like, again, like, wait, I feel like.
So were they saying though that Wakely's dad has Hodgkin's, or was he using research on Hodgkin's?
Right. It was that he was like, yes, sorry, I forgot. I had this note about Hodgkin's being lymphoma and not gallbladder cancer, but yes, you're right. It was that. And then it was, right. So then for me, it was like the research in lymphoma is not necessarily transferable to gallbladder cancer. Again, these are like very different types of cancer. So fine, whatever, like cancer research probably being at the state that it was at this time, like maybe not the most variety of options, and it's sweet that he was trying to pass on science. Fair enough. That was I forgot about that. This was, I don't know, it was they start sharing, fine, they have this like friendship. I don't know. I didn't understand where this whole like, but also love and friendship like conversation started.
It's like
in these
none
letters
of this, none of well. This has to do with science versus faith. It's like, I'm a scientist, so I don't have any relationships. Like,
yeah,
I don't
exactly.
Know.
Right. I was like, yeah, because you know, yeah. Amanda, how is your, you know, husband and children doing right now?
Yeah. It's, I mean, no, this is like this, this felt like a very kind of shallow, like surface level conceit to create this coincidence where we have Wakely somehow have this connection to Mad and Elizabeth that we didn't already know about. And like the other thing about this is when he does meet, he like Wakely had met Elizabeth before.
Yep.
And like and knew that she was a chemist and knew that his friend was in love with a chemist that was lived in that area. I mean,
yeah, lived in that neighborhood.
Like they're sending letters have addresses on them, Melissa.
Yeah.
They have addresses on them. And he was corresponding with somebody who lived at that address and he didn't put this together. Like it's just not good writing. I'm sorry. Just not good writing. It's not
and
good.
And it's also like this whole like, have you considered love thing? It's like it's not that hard to change this slightly so that it's like Calvin expressing like a some issue he's having of like, I find it difficult to mm-hmm. make time for this, or I'm you know, I'm not really like connected, or I don't know, like I don't really know how to go about like meeting some, like I don't know, some sort of like specific issue rather than just like, have you ever considered relationships?
Oh my
like
God. Yeah,
that was just like weird.
And then the uncontrolled variables, like it's so trite. It's like it's very, very trite. Oh, like I can't have a relationship because that introduces uncontrolled variables and I do scientific experiments. It was, yeah. they didn't create this relationship in an organic way. Like it would make, you're right, it would make more sense if they're carrying on this correspondence and Calvin shares his like loneliness or something. Right. And then like, or like, and it grew out of that. But the fact that like Wakely like makes this assumption, or, I mean, like the whole way that it happens, it's, and then you know, like we just don't get enough to see, like it's more like the show tells us that these men grow to care about each other because they share these details of their lives, but they didn't show us how or make that believable in a way. And it just like felt like this work was very a cheap reveal at the end of the last episode, and that this is going to build us into some other reveal again about Calvin as a character, when I really feel like the heart and soul of what is working in this show is about Elizabeth and her complicated relationship with her career.
Yeah.
And that like Calvin as a vehicle of being like this promise of a way for her to have this career that got pulled from her was what was working for me about this relationship. Because I mean, like, yes, and this could be like a beautiful love story, but I just feel like this was a bait and switch in terms of this being like a melodrama about these two people in love. And it's just not done in a particularly fresh way. Whatever happened to Dr. Mason too? Look, what, why does he exist? We have one episode left.
I don't know. To get Elizabeth rowing somehow, because that was important.
And is Harriet's whole thing done? I don't know.
Yeah. The other thing that bothers me is Calvin feels like a neurodivergent character written by someone who isn't neurodivergent. Mm-hmm. He feels very like one note in that right. way. And like Elizabeth doesn't feel that way. Like I feel like Elizabeth yeah. is kind of, you know, similarly written, but we know enough about her that we've seen like multiple sides of her. But this, and I feel like even in other aspects of Calvin that we've seen, but this whole story felt very, I don't know. I like didn't feel like I got enough dimension, as we were saying. Like it felt yeah. very flat.
Yeah, it was very flat. So, you know, so Calvin meets Elizabeth and, you know, shares this in his correspondence to Curtis Wakely. We find out that Wakely's father's agreed to have treatment for his cancer. So they're learning from each other. Melissa, it's beautiful. The man of science and the man of faith. And maybe we all should be somewhere in between. So Calvin goes shopping for wedding rings. You know, this I thought was kind of nice. She's not simple, but she appreciates simplicity. If she wore jewelry, it would be complex and clear. And he picks out a ring for Elizabeth.
Yeah, this was sweet. I did like his kind of reflecting on Elizabeth and who she is as a person and all of that. I don't know. I get that he does this before they have the whole like mm-hmm. I don't want to get married conversation. Which is fine. I don't know. I'm obviously, this is like a very, probably a very modern take, but I just mm-hmm. don't think that you should be you know, not talking about this stuff before you go and make large purchases. But you know, that's maybe just me and my,
I think that in the 1940s or 1950s, I guess that it would probably be like more unusual to talk about this ahead of time. I think that the fact that more and more couples like have this as an open conversation and not as like a big surprise moment is very good. But this wasn't surprising. And then it is nice that he does sort of like then respect, like after they have that conversation and kind of put this aside. So anyway, like he has this ring obviously for some time and he can't work up the nerve to actually propose to Elizabeth. We go back and we redo all these scenes that we've already seen. They have their Christmas together. She moves in. We find out that, you know, he's been rereading Great Expectations over and over again. The book stays the same, but you change, and Great Expectations is going to come back to significance at the end of this episode. And also Great Expectations is the book that Mad had been reading a few episodes ago. So there's some nice continuity there.
This line of, because books taste the same, but you don't, I did think was actually great. So kudos to that one line.
At the Hastings lab, when Elizabeth and Calvin are working together, we see that that Calvin keeps on getting these unwanted letters, the ones that he mentioned to Harriet previously. And he loses his temper with the mail boy and, you know, shouts, "I need them to stop. No one appreciates what I'm trying to accomplish here." Elizabeth is kind of put off by this outburst and leaves the lab to leave him to his work. And then, you know, Calvin's surprised when he comes home at the end of the day and Elizabeth is still there waiting for him.
I also really liked this conversation. I will like this back and forth. I just think this like very, the willingness for Elizabeth to kind of hold space for Calvin, for them to kind of show each other the parts of themselves that they're not the most proud of, and to feel kind of supported through that, and the kind of Elizabeth basically like not ignoring that this happened, but basically being like, I want to know why, like talk to me about this. And you know, the fact that Calvin is then going to go back and apologize to this poor male guy who was not doing anything wrong and got yelled at, but you know, sort of this kind of understandable reason for it. I did like this conversation. It was like, I thought it was very sweet, and I thought it was a very lovely kind of aspect of relationships when they're done well.
Yeah. We see people at their worst and we love them anyway. Which is a very nice message. But we find out that Calvin's so upset about these letters because his parents abandoned him before they died. And those letters are people pretending to be related to him because he's a famous scientist now, and it's salt in the wound. He's glad his parents are dead. It makes moving on simpler. And Elizabeth acknowledges that and says it's hard to say aloud the things we can barely say to ourselves. So what's happening is Calvin's on the cover of Scientific American, and a lot of people are coming out of the woodwork, sending him letters, like trying to get money from him. Melissa, does this add up very well for you?
I guess there must have been like a profile about him in Scientific American that probably mentioned that he had like grown up in a boy's home and didn't know his family or something. And so I'm assuming it means that there's a lot of people now messaging him, basically pretending to be long lost family in order to gain access to the, you know, that big science money that they think that Calvin must have.
Yeah.
I guess. Fine. And I also understand why this would like, you know, strike a nerve for Calvin, and why this would be kind of particularly difficult for him to deal with. It's a bit wild, but I guess I can see the through line logic there of the story of why this is happening.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I'm a little bit incredulous that Scientific American has like the readership where you would get like so many of these inquiries. Like, this isn't like a famous pop star. And also, you know, while Calvin like probably makes like decent money, this isn't like, you know, you're set for life kind of money. Like, this is sort of just a, I mean, I don't know what a 1950s. But,
Amanda, he won the Remsen.
He won the Remsen. I mean, like, I just feel like this presumes like a level of stardom and wealth for a scientist that doesn't quite compute. I mean, like, I'm trying to think maybe if you're like, I'm trying to think of like the highest echelon, like if you're like a Stephen Hawking or, but like, so maybe like, I know that he's supposed to be more than just like a, you know, an elite scientist. I think he's supposed to be some like, you know, stratospheric level of scientific genius. But anyway, that part is weird. So, I'm wondering what's really going on with these letters. I'm wondering if this is just clunky or if there's something else going on with the letters, if there really are people, like specific people who have a connection with Calvin that he just doesn't know about, and that there might be something in the letters that he's dismissing that is more than that, or whether like I'm not sure how much of this to go along with yet.
Yeah, I think we had sort of hypothesized, was it last episode, that one of these letters might turn out to be like a real familial mm-hmm. relative that Mad right. might find. So then Mad can find more like extended family for mm-hmm. her family tree and all that. I don't know if we're supposed to think it's going to be this guy. Which seems a bit wild. So yeah, I don't really know mm-hmm. what's going on, but it's also
because it's like, it's one thing to send one letter and try and shoot your shot, but if he's like issuing a cease and desist, or like, then that suggests that there are people,
there are many,
and that they've been persistent, like that there's a persistence, like that certain people have been sending him many letters. And so I wonder, you know, if there is going to be somebody who ends up actually having a connection to Calvin, and that Mad would find.
Yeah, I guess so.
We get the morning at Calvin and Elizabeth's home where they now live together. And this is the morning where he's going to eventually get hit by the bus and die. And we find out that on that morning he wrote a letter to Wakely and, you know, tells, you know, him that that marriage, you know, not all those traditional steps might not be for, he tells him all about Elizabeth, that that marriage might not be for us, but we are for each other. And that sums up the whole darn universe, wouldn't you say? And this is the last letter that he writes to Wakely. And
what
we see
that
like
supposed to mean?
I don't know. It sums we up the whole darn.
It sums we up the whole darn universe. In what way? I don't understand.
It's bad writing, Melissa. It's not good.
It's a sweet idea that he's like, you know, marriage isn't for us, but we are for each other. Great, love it.
They had to make this the science and faith thing. They had to make this about science again. They had to make this whole thing about science versus faith. And anyway, this is when, you know, he goes out for his run and the bus accident happens. And he never got to see Wakely's return letter where he writes, "I'm thrilled for you and my family is moving into your neighborhood and we'll celebrate in person." But that letter gets returned to sender.
Yep.
Yeah. So in 1958, now we are in the most present of the presentest days when Elizabeth and Mad are there. So Anyway, like this is when Wakely finds out that that Elizabeth is Calvin's Elizabeth. He brings all of the letters from their correspondence back, and Mad and Elizabeth are going to go to the St. Luke's Home for Boys.
Yeah. I don't know. Right. Yeah.
And so here we get the priest. So, so Elizabeth asks the priest about Calvin and shows him like that they have these demerits from St. Luke's. He asks for records or files and he says, oh yeah, that was the fire. We don't have those records. They all burned.
yeah. This Mad- very convenient fire. This guy is so sketchy.
Yeah. This guy is definitely. So Madeline can see right through him. She says he's lying. She goes to the library and starts just searching through the stacks. There has to be proof. Elizabeth looks with her and they find a library book. The card for Great Expectations, of course, has Calvin's name in it. And we find out that the book was donated by the Remsen Foundation. Dun, dun, dun.
Because somehow the book that he happened to be reading is going to be tied. Like,
why?
This is like the loosest of strings. I don't understand why Elizabeth would see this and be like,
this mystery of like, how is Bo Bridges related to a character who died 5 episodes ago? Like, this is,
I don't know.
But that's what the finale is going to be like about. It's going to be about this.
Yeah, to me, the headline at the end of this is scientific organization donates science books. Like, and there's zero that then Calvin happened to read. Like, there's zero reason for them to look at this and be like, do you know what? Maybe this guy is secretly Calvin's dad.
Oh my God.
Like, what?
Yeah. What is it? Yeah. Elizabeth's like, aha, this is a clue. Like,
because as we've established, the Remsen Foundation is the only scientific organization in this whole world. Yeah.
So, like, that's the end of the penultimate episode, Melissa. Do we have a woman in science this week?
We do.
Fantastic.
Yeah, moving on from weird stories, I don't know. There have been parts of this show that I've very much enjoyed. Talking to you about it is something I've also very much enjoyed.
Yes.
I'm really hoping it sticks the landing next week, and I'm nervous that all of this distraction with this Calvin stuff is going to mean that it doesn't. And I really just want that highway to not go through Harriet's home, finally, after all these years.
Oh my God, yeah.
But yes, our women in science is Rebecca J. Cole, who was an American physician in kind of the early 1900s, was an organizer, founder, social reformer. In 1867, she became the second Black woman to become a doctor in the United States after Rebecca Lee Crumper, who graduated 3 years earlier. Throughout her life, she faced a lot of kind of racial and gender-based barriers to her medical education and training. But yeah, she was a big like kind of public health advocate, that's a word I can say, physician and hygiene reformer in the U.S., very much focused on evidence-based practices. So she took issue with a lot of biased data that was being used to conclude that there was a lack of hygiene that was the cause of inner city families' high death rate from consumption. And basically looking at kind of other factors involved in that, which I thought was a very cool thing. There's not a lot of records that remain, but she opened the Women's Directory Center with Charlotte Abbey providing medical and legal services to marginalized women, and was appointed superintendent of a home, and basically was like, while raising 5 kids, was doing all this great stuff to kind of go after dangerous misinformation using her own data to kind of back up these opinions. And yeah, so it seems like a very cool woman.
Ooh, amazing. Thank you for sharing that. Great. It's been great to get to learn more about all of these great women in science. Thank you for bringing that to us every week. And Melissa, what Okay, else you have going on? Where can people find you before we come back next time?
Yeah, so follow me, MelissaW28 on Twitter, MelissaWoodward28 on other social media. I am talking Doctor Who with Kevin and Adam. We are about to wrap up series 5, which is very huge. And then we are going to be covering the new Doctor Who specials. There are going to be 3 special episodes with a return of David Tennant, which is very exciting, and then the Christmas special. So lots of stuff that if you haven't been following along, but you're looking for a place to dive in, this would be a great time to do so. And otherwise, wrapped up my Goosebumps coverage with Todd. I am going to be on an episode of Shit 90 Shows Taught Me, talking Freaks and Geeks with Jess and Sarah. Fun. As they finish their coverage of that. So that'll be great. And then I'm talking Burrow's End with Rich. So Dimension 20's current streaming show, if you're at all into Dungeons and Dragons or fantasy storytelling, or just like to hear Rich and I talk about stuff. I think it's a really fun podcast. So you can check that out as well. And we have some special guests coming on for the last 2 episodes of the season. What about awesome. You, Amanda?
So much great stuff. I am talking about 6 Feet Under twice a week with Ariel, having a lot of fun with that rewatch pod, which is suitable for first watchers as well. So it's a great time to binge on Netflix and listen along with Ariel and myself. And I am also covering The Curse, the Nathan Fielder, Benny Zofte scripted show starring Fielder and Emma Stone, which is on Showtime and Paramount with the Showtime Extra, whatever that is. But it's really, really great. It's intense. It's weird. It's unnerving. But I'm enjoying it very, very much. So check that out. Grace and I are talking about that every week on Post Show Recaps. And as always, you can keep up with everything that I'm doing on Twitter, where I am at Dr. Amanda R. So Melissa, you and I will be back sometime next week to talk about the final episode of Lessons in Chemistry, episode 8, Introduction to Chemistry.
Yeah, we will do that. And I'm excited to get a full season perspective on this show. I'm hoping that once we can kind of take the whole bird's eye view of it, we can focus in on some of the parts that we did like. This is not the worst show we've ever covered together.
It is not. No,
but we sort of don't have great luck when just the two of us are podcasting together.
I know. What is
but
it?
I'm hoping I'm excited to kind of focus in on the parts of it that I have enjoyed, because there are parts of it that I have enjoyed. And I'm sorry for anyone for whom we have been talking down about this show that might be based on a book you really enjoyed. And that's great. And Brie Larson is doing awesome. So
yeah, I agree with all of that. And I can't wait to come back next week and talk to all of you. Bye-bye.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply.